Now, what are we learning this year in the book of Galatians? Remember, this is Paul's Katharina von Bora, his wife. And he loved this particular book. Did I say Martin Luther?
You said Paul.
What did I say?
You said Paul.
Did I really?
Yeah.
Paul wrote it.
Yeah.
But it was Martin Luther's wife, Katharina von Bora. This was the one close to him. He got saved through a passage in Romans about the justice of God. And he saw that justice was not us behaving, but God keeping his promise. And that changed things. But then when he got to Galatians, he realized that Paul's teaching was not what men thought it was. And that the Roman Catholic Church for over 1,000 years had mistaken, had misunderstood the Apostle Paul. And a lot of Christians today don't like Paul because they don't understand his words. But Paul is called by the Holy Spirit, was called by the Holy Spirit to speak to us today. And so therefore, he wrote much of the New Testament, so it's kind of hard not to like him, since he wrote almost all of it. So God obviously favored him. He favored him. Now, passive righteousness means you didn't do it. That doesn't mean, however, that you won't have active righteousness. But even, this is hard to get a hold of, but get a hold of it. Even when you actively are, you know that you're speaking his word, doing his work, and it's not you, it's God. It looks active. Even then, it's totally dependent on the relationship you have in Christ. So it's still passive. So even when it looks active, the fruits, love, joy, peace, and so on, in the fifth chapter, we haven't gotten close to that yet, it's still him doing it. And so never forget that because of Jesus, you're born of the Spirit, then you're filled with the Spirit, and then you're led of the Spirit. So those three, justification, sanctification, glorification, are gifts of God. You didn't do any of them. You did none of them. So even when you're doing the works of God, you know that it's not you. And men don't glorify you when they see your good works. They glorify your Father because they know you are related to God. You're a son, you're a daughter of the King. I see Jesus. I'm talking about pagans, the people in the world. How many know we could use a little revival right now in the churches?
Amen.
In the churches, not in the world.
Amen.
But in the churches that are in the world, so that the world could glorify God.
Yeah.
The world would glorify God if they saw that you were a son or a daughter of God. So much of the church today is useless to God. It's not his church. He can't defend it. He can't help it because it's dead.
Yeah.
Or next to dead. But thank God for us, because we're alive.
Hallelujah!
And since we're alive, we don't have any problem.
Amen.
In other words, the world doesn't have to wait for Jesus to come back. We're already here.
Thank you, Jesus.
And if we're here, well, there's hope. Amen. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
We're deep into it. As a matter of fact, we're having a closing prayer right now. It was all on tardiness. It's a whole message on being tardy. No, we couldn't start, so we just were waiting for you to come, killing time, just saying a bunch of words. My wife, Peggy.
Actually, we're starting earlier than usual today.
Oh, are we?
So they're probably thinking.
Oh, they're right on time.
Oh, thank you, Peggy.
God is good.
Love it.
So passive righteousness means you don't do it. Passive, when something is passive, it means you didn't do it. Now, that doesn't mean you didn't do it, but it just means you didn't do it. You understood that? In other words, yes, you did it, but you didn't do it because your relationship with Jesus, who is living in you, is the one who did it.
Amen.
And apart from him, you can't do anything. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So, but in him, you can do all things. So the reason you can do is because he's in you, or you're in him, or both. And it's both. So because you and he are in union, but yours is you don't have life in yourself. God the Father has life in himself. Jesus the Son has life in himself. Knows they don't need anything else. But you do need someone else. You have to be, no God, nothing. You have no God, nothing. Take God out of the equation, there's nothing. So I'm letting you know that the world would not be here if we were gone. So for those that want to rapture out, you're the only hope there is for the world.
Amen.
So the only reason the world is here is because we're not finished. It's not because the other people aren't saved. It's because we're not finished. We're not finished. So there's more. There's more to be done. And the done is not what you do. It's what you do in him or what he does in you. So our religion is not a religion where we do something for God, active righteousness. Ours is a religion that's totally passive based on a relationship that we have with the one who is active. So if you're a lamp and you're not plugged into the wall, you don't give off any light. But if you're a lamp and someone plugs you in and turns on the little clicky thing, well, then you're okay. You just show light. But you didn't produce it. You were just a lamp. And the only thing that happened was you got tied into some electricity somewhere, some energy, the light came on, right? So if you don't know how to plug in, you're in trouble. And if you don't know how to turn that little clicky thing, you're in trouble. Sometimes it's a button, sometimes it's a little thing you push, and so on. No matter how it is, somebody's got to turn that thing on. But you better be plugged into the wall, because you can turn it on all day long. But you know, so that turn on is not going to happen unless you're plugged into the wall.
Amen.
That's all I'm saying. So you are the branch; he's the vine. The fruit, don't worry about the fruit. Just just tie your end of the branch into him. Don't worry about the other end of the branch that produces the fruit, because it didn't produce it. It was just the channel for it. You weren't the source of the good works. You were the channel for Jesus finishing his good works through you. Anyway, that's been our teaching for years. It doesn't go anywhere, but I like saying it anyway. I don't really look to see if people are getting it or not getting it. That's between you and God. But I have a calling, and I will continue to do it. If there's nobody, I'll still do it. I do it in my dreams, actually. I do. I preach in my dreams, and I'm awesome. I am very good, very clear. I'm literally just saying that, that I do. I preach the gospel in my dreams and, you know, hear the Lord and so on. It's awesome. It's fun. And he spoke to me yesterday morning as I woke up. It's when he speaks to me. And he told me, to tell the people, and I'm telling you right now, this is the living word. Skip Galatians for a second, but I'll get right back to it. He's coming soon. And he said, tell the people that he's not only coming soon, that means in your lifetime. I don't care what soon means, but it means get ready. And tell the people to prepare. And then he defined it in the dream. Make room in your heart for him. In other words, in my church, there's no room in their hearts for me. And that's what I'm concerned about, is I am coming, and it's soon. But my people aren't ready, so tell them, get ready, prepare your hearts, make room in your hearts for him, so that you're ready when he comes. Because he's coming back for a bride, without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. What I knew in the dream, I won't tell you the dream, I'll just tell you what I knew in the dream was that I was not a pastor. It doesn't mean I'm not a pastor. It just means I wasn't in the dream of pastor, but I was speaking to crowds like I've never seen, huge, all over. And then I came into a church at the end of the dream. And by the way, out in the crowds, people were really attentive because they knew I was a prophet speaking the very words of God about his return. In other words, he's coming back.
Amen.
Soon, right now. You get ready. His return is imminent. And I was preaching and teaching, explaining it. And then I went into a church, and there was a pastor lying almost prone. You know, he was almost flat, but he was a little bit inclined. So he was like this, kind of leaning like that. And his mouth was open, and he was very elderly. Don't think anything. He was very elderly, and he was next to death. I knew it. I could just see his mouth was like this. And he was looking straight up, and he didn't see that I'd walked into his church, and I was taking over his church. I was just bumping him out, taking over. And I knew he was a good pastor. I knew the people liked him. But I also knew he didn't have the word that I had. I knew that. He did not have a living word, that Jesus was coming soon. He had not prepared his people, in other words. He was a good pastor. I didn't think he was a bad pastor. But I knew he was also just about to die. And after I woke up, I realized that was me. That was me looking at him who was me. And so that pastor who was almost dead was me. And I saw it. Even though he loves Jesus, he didn't have this word that Christ is coming soon. Prepare your hearts. Make room in your hearts. And I had no enthusiasm, no energy, human. I just was telling it just as God spoke to me, and I knew that no one could resist the word. I knew it was the truth. And I knew that I knew. I've never had a dream like that where I knew that me was looking at me and looking at what I used to be out in the pagan world. And I knew this is it. He's coming back now. In other words, in our lifetime, right now. So be ready. You don't know when it's going to be. It could be before the election. I'm not saying when it is. I'm just simply saying it's now. And I didn't care about the time. I just cared that it was urgent, that tell the people. This is your living word. This is the ministry that I've prepared you for, not to be that dead guy preaching in Dallas and Fort Worth or all over the world even. But this is your ministry, is tell people he's coming soon. So I'm just telling you that. And I don't have any interest in what was said, except that I believe that's my mission. I believe that he's called me to be dead to this world. Dead. They'd say that guy hadn't died yet. But I could tell you the whole dream and you'd see exactly what it is. It was powerful. And I knew you were just saying, you've been asking me, what is your mission, purpose, assignment, mission, because you know it's not happening in the Dallas-Fort Worth, so on and so forth. It's something different than that, not the same as that. Didn't mean he's saying you're wasting your time. He was just simply saying, you're not dead. He wasn't talking about the pastor, the priest, whoever that guy was. Because that guy was dressed in black like he was, they had him dressed up in a suit like he was ready to be dead. But he was leaning, he was just up a little bit, and his feet were down, and there were people all around him, and then his mouth was open like this. He was just about ready to expire. And I knew, looking at him, I knew that guy's dead. And I'm taken over because that guy does not have the word that I have. And I'm a prophet of the living God, not a pastor. I am a pastor, but I'm also a prophet. And I had spoken to the world. Now I was coming into the church, but I didn't know it was my church. So that was me lying there, ready to expire. And I knew I was opposite to him. I knew whoever that guy was, he was loved by his people, but I knew he wasn't dead. And he didn't have the message that I had. I wasn't antagonistic to him. It's just that I knew I was taken over. So that was what God was showing me. This is your mission. This is your assignment. to call the whole world pagan, saved, unsaved, it doesn't matter. Wherever you go, people will hear your message. You are called to be an apostle, prophet, etc., to call people to the Lord's return. Get ready. Prepare your heart. Make room in your heart. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Jesus won't recognize you. So, back to Galatians. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? What was the foolishness? The word foolish, I told you, anoetai. Anoetai means insane. And then nous means mindless. You have no mind. In other words, you're insane. What's wrong with your mind? Somebody has bewitched you. Ibaskine. And bewitched you means cast an evil eye upon you that you're not awake. You're not prepared. You started in the spirit. Now you're going to end in the flesh. And he went on to say that, who has bewitched you, that you do not obey the truth of the gospel. You're not paying attention to the word that's in here. You're not awake to this, that what you read in there, that when he was crucified, you were crucified. Sun estoromai. Sun estoromai. It's a long word. But it means, when he was crucified, Paul says, I was crucified. Or, he said, I was crucified together with him. The sun prefix of the word. And then the that is saying, past, I was crucified. Estoromai, that's the cross. So you were crucified when Christ was crucified, so therefore, that's exciting. Is that not good news? If you were crucified, that means you can't die. That means your sins don't count anymore, because you're already dead. And so since he was crucified, and he did that for your sins, they're gone. So that sin is not your issue now. Sin is not your issue now, committing sins. So we're not talking about whether you do good works or bad works. That's over. You were crucified with him. You were buried with him. You were risen with him. You were ascended with him. And you were now reigning with him already. Past. Passive righteousness. Not active. It's already over in heaven. Not on earth. On earth, of course, we see this guy still alive. We see this guy, he was laying this way, his head was here, and his feet were down here, and I was walking in, and I walked in and I saw people that I knew. And then I began to move to the right, and as I moved further right, I saw this guy dead, but he was, let's say, 20, 30 feet from me maybe, and people were around him. And I knew he's the pastor of this church, and I'm taking over. In other words, he doesn't have the word, and I do. And I'm going to speak this word, and the people are listening. The first group that I came to, they immediately knew me and were listening. They had ears to hear immediately. And I knew, but that guy is dead, but I don't have the same message. We have a different message. I have the living word of God. He doesn't. So that was me that I was looking at right there. So yeah, you're born again and filled with the Spirit and so on, but you're not fully led by the Spirit because you don't have the last word. You don't have the final word. I do. And I knew it. I've never dreamed anything like that, that I would be able to speak to the whole world and call the whole world to repent, to change their mind, to be ready for the Lord's return. In other words, the kingdom is coming. And it's already here with us. We've begun. But you haven't yet seen the kingdom, not only the millennial kingdom, but the eternal kingdom. But that's all imminent. It's happening in your lifetime now. So who has bewitched you that before your eyes, remember I said that it's to cast, the word ibaskine is, again, passive. Who bewitched you? You were bewitched by somebody. Who? Tis, T-I-S in the Greek. Somebody bewitched you. And it was that guy right there. that even though he was preaching the truth and doing good for these people, they loved him, he didn't have the final word. That is the time. The time has come now. Time is just about over. So be ready now, because the Lord is coming. And I say this to Dallas and Fort Worth because I believe that this word is the word for Dallas and Fort Worth to begin, to be ending. Get ready for the end, because it's coming soon. And the church has been irrelevant. It is dead, like that former gym over there. But now the time has come. Anyway, then he goes on and he says, you read it in your Bibles. It doesn't say that, but that's what it's saying. You read that before your eyes. You saw with your own eyes. In other words, who has bewitched you that you now have another eye, the evil eye? Remember, you can see on your dollar bill there's a little eye above the pyramid and so on. That evil eye was somebody bewitched you to think of a false worship, because you started out in the spirit, now you're ended up in the flesh. Who bewitched you that before your very eyes you read it in the Bible, the written gospel. You read the truth there. Why have you fallen back now that you could be saved by your own works rather than by faith? You started in faith. You started at passive righteousness. Now why are you trying to do active righteousness, though he wants you to do something? You cannot do anything. For two reasons. Number one, because you can't do perfect work. Number two, it's already been done. Those are two different reasons. You cannot do what only God can do. And by the way, God's already done it. For those two reasons, don't become active. Stay passive in union, in relationship with the living God who's coming back for his bride. And he'll know which ones are alive and which ones are dead.
Amen.
Which ones are dead. And so these are the days. I don't care. You see, just like in the dream, I had no enthusiasm about the message. I just was sharing it. And I knew everyone had to listen. And I knew everyone was. Everyone was attentive wherever I went. And I went through all kinds of, I don't know if they were countries or what they were, but I went through all kinds of places until I got to the church where I saw my own death. That's powerful. Because the biggest problem today in the church is your death. You haven't yet died to your works. You haven't yet died to the fact that you can't produce. You haven't yet died to the fact that God doesn't want you to do anything since he's already done everything. If you were crucified with Christ, then it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith, related to, pertinent to, the Son of God, who died and gave himself for me. So when he died, I died. So I'm dead to this world, to the devil, to the law, to anything related to this world. I can't produce any fruit. I can't be actively righteous. Relax, rest, enter into his joy, enter into his peace, because the day has come when you shall bear fruit that you didn't bear. And people will not glorify you, but when they see your good works, they'll glorify your Father,
Amen,
which is in heaven. It's very powerful. It's very powerful. So, I'll tell you again, he's coming soon. He's coming soon, meaning in your lifetime. He spoke to that to me, I don't know how many years ago, but a long time ago, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I had been born again around Christmas time in 19, Peggy knows, 71. Peggy knows. 71. So just after Christmas, I went out to Arizona and stayed with these sisters and so on. And I knew that they had something I didn't have. And so I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Just like I was a good Baptist. I became just like Janet. Because in the Lutheran church, you just get baptized in water and then you're a Christian. But in the Baptist church, you have to have a personal living
Amen.
Relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Well, I knew that. And so I knew I was saved. And at that moment, I knew there was a God, and I knew that he was my God. And I knew from then on I would be a Christian forever.
Hallelujah.
But I also knew that I wasn't ready to make him my Lord. Listen to me, because this is the problem in the church today. The lordship is totally different than passively being saved by his cross. Now it was take up your cross. I did not want to. I'd wanted to take up the little bitty cross maybe, but not a big one. I didn't want to die. I just wanted to almost die, but not really die. I still, just in case he didn't come through, I wanted to have a little my own, you know, just, you know, you never know about him. And so, and I told him that. I said, God, you know, I know de jure you're the Lord. I don't deny that you're the Lord. I mean, you're my Savior. Now I also know you're my Lord. But here's a little deal here. Let me just talk here for a few seconds, God, now that I'm a Christian. I don't think I can fulfill that do thing. I'm not good at do. I'm kind of lousy at it. I've always done my own thing. I've always been my own boss. I mean, who else is bossing me around me? And so I like being boss, but I don't really like being under somebody else's lordship thing. I mean, you're a nice guy and you just saved me, and so I'm grateful. But I acknowledge you are my Lord, but I also acknowledge, because I don't want to lie to you, because I'm just a Christian right now. I don't want to lie to you. I will probably feel some things you don't want me to feel, or think some things you don't want me to think, or do some things you don't want me to do. I know that's going to happen. I know I'm going to be crummy. I'm going to not be a good Christian. I know it. I'll be like Addison, up and down, you know, now and again. You know, I will not be steady. So I just know it. I know me. I will default back to my old lifestyle. And I don't want to lie about it. If you don't do it, I'm not going to do it for you. So, okay, you're my Lord, but you have to kill me, and then, you know, you have to do it when I'm sleeping or something, because I'll fight you. If you try to lord me all the time and, you know, make me have no life of my own, I don't want that. Does anybody else here have struggled a little bit with that? That you're what the Latins call simul justus et peccator. I'm at the same time a saint and a sinner. You know, I had both of those in me, kind of warring. You know, it was kind of a war inside of me, and I knew that I eventually I was going to be, you know, because he made this promise that the good work he began he'd surely finish, and so on. So I knew I was okay. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm not worried about that, but on earth right here, I'm going to do a lot of sin, probably. You know, I just know I am. I know I'm not that good a person, and I don't really want to be, and I don't want to work at it, even though I knew the theology is that you don't do it. He does it all. I knew that, but I also thought I'm probably going to give him a little bit of trouble, so I better tell him that. I better make sure he's okay with that before we start this deal. Is God, let me be ruthlessly naked and honest with you. I have lived my whole life as God. And apart from you, I didn't give one rip for you or anybody else. Never. Never cared for anybody. I was never good. I was never decent. I was never kind. I was never nice. I acted like it only to get through so I could survive. So, even so, I believe that you're God. I know you are. And I admit you're also to be the Lord of my life. But de facto, I'm probably still going to, you know, be there. So have a little sympathy there. Have a little bit of mercy there. Help out, because I'm going to probably be opposing you a lot, you know. So I'm definitely a Christian now. I definitely believe in you. I definitely know you died on the cross for me. I was dead and buried and all that kind of stuff and so on and so forth. But lordship, I'm not into that yet. It took me a little while. I'm not used to the light yet. I'm still used to the darkness. Has anybody else had that little battle where you could go almost all the way? This guy in the dream that I was dreaming, this pastor was on a chair like this, but somehow, and I don't know how this worked, but somehow he was sloped just a little bit, and he was laying here with his head on this chair, but he was almost like he was in a grave just about. Maybe he was going to be buried, and and I knew that guy is almost dead. Yeah. He's a dead pastor. Well, that was me, but I didn't know that until I woke up. I said, that's me. And I thought I was a good pastor, but I realized, no, the reason you're not a good pastor is because you don't do good, and you didn't have the living Word of God. You only had all the truths. You had all the truths, and you shared them, and the people liked them. But that's nothing. It has to be the living Word of God, a word that quickens the dead. That's why wherever I went in the world, people were listening. No, I didn't know if they were getting saved or not. I just know one thing. Everybody, saved and unsaved, was listening. Like, he is coming soon. Make ready. Prepare your heart now. Don't wait. Don't postpone. It's urgent. And as I was sharing that, everyone, no one said, I don't believe that. Or no one resisted it. I mean, these were, you know, nations of people, crowds. And I knew I was a prophet speaking the living word of God. When I woke up, I realized that was an answer to the prayers I've been praying. Is God, I feel like I'm not supposed to be doing what I'm doing right now, or that I've been prepared to do something else. Not so much change jobs as this is not why I got born again and saved and filled with the Spirit and so on. I still haven't done what I'm supposed to be doing. And I have no clue as to what it is. It's just, I'm not there. Whatever I'm doing, it's not exactly where I'm supposed to be. So you've prepared me, and I was like that guy. Almost my last breath was dying because that guy needed to die to himself. That self guy right there, that soulish guy that was in that battle, needed to die. So that now what I'm saying came from heaven itself, and I knew it, and I knew it, and I knew it. That was very powerful.
Wow.
So everything that we've done is prelude to the fact that now that I'm almost dead, and in the dream I was dead. I knew that guy was dead, even though he was alive. I could see he was still alive. He hadn't yet been buried, but I could see he just almost inclined flat, but he's still a little bit alive. I knew God was saying, that was you. That was you. You will no longer be that. You're about now to take a new assignment, which I'm going to give you, that'll have worldwide, but also everywhere, to get everyone ready for my return. So prepare your heart, open your heart to him, because that's why he came. Oh, and by the way, why I told this whole story was because that's what I saw years ago when I was about to receive the Holy Spirit. Peggy knows that 6 months after I made that deal with God about I yielded to him, I surrendered my life to you. You are totally 100% my Savior and also my Lord. But I gotta say this. I'm going to sin some more, probably. Probably a lot, because I'm used to it. I'm very much have a good habit of it. Does anybody else have a good habit of sinning? And you can get rid of 10 of your sins, but there will always be a few more there, maybe 100,000, you know, that you're keeping kind of to yourself. And in case he doesn't come through, you can use those on him. See, that's because you didn't come through like you're supposed to. How many know that sometimes we get a little bit upset with God for not doing everything on time? It's like, I know you're going to do it, but when? How about today? I mean, it's in your Bible. You read it in the Bible. I read it in the Bible. You wrote it down, but you don't do it. And I know that's wrong. I know that's wrong. You can't ever make God wrong and you right. But still, it's in me to say it. Emotionally, I want to say it. Intellectually, I want to say it. And volitionally, I'm going to say it. I'm just going to tell him, hey, God, I wish you'd let me be God. I mean, really God for a little while. Let me know that there's something in each of us that wants to deify you. That guy wanted to be a god, and I knew I was taking over for him. But it's me I was taking over for. Is I want to live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, and I don't want anything less.
Amen.
And yet, look at my life. Look at my actual life. Forget my theories and my good theology and so on. It's worthless. If, in fact, I'm not saying exactly what God wants, and then there's immediately you see the power of God in people's lives so that they repent. And then they begin to believe, and they become disciples, and then they become lovers, and then you actually see the kingdom of God on the earth with your eyes in the land of the living. You remember the Job story where he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I know that on the latter days, in the last times after Jesus, I know that I will see him on the earth. I will see my Savior, my in the Hebrew language. That guy is called Gaol or Goal. That guy is like my kinsman redeemer. In other words, we're family, and he's redeeming me because no one else can. But we're of the same blood, and since we're family spiritually, He will then show up and return. So when God spoke to me in the dream years ago, 6 months after I was born again, I knew then. And in the dream, I began to speak in tongues after I got rid of a sin. There was a certain person I didn't like, and they showed up. Just as I was about to worship God, and then that person showed up. It's like, what is she doing here? I don't like that person. That person tried to get me baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I was offended by it because I'm from Yale. I'm sophisticated. I mean, I speak languages and know big words and stuff. And here's this silly woman telling me, I just pray and I get parking spaces and so on and so forth. And I was just offended by that. That's not in the Bible. There's no parking spaces in the Bible like that. But so I hated her because she was trying to hawk this on to me to get me to be ridiculous like her. You see what I'm saying? Because she believed miracles. She was believing miracles.
Amen.
And I thought, you know, I know it's in the Bible, but that's past. That is not happening too frequently these days. It's a rare kind of thing. But here she was going, every time she'd drive, she'd just pray, God, Holy Spirit, give me a parking space. And she'd get one, and so on and so forth. So I was offended by that. I did not like it. I mean, I didn't say anything to her. But in the dream, I knew I was wrong. In the dream, I realized she had not sinned. I had sinned against her. I knelt down in front of her, and I said, forgive me. I was wrong. You were right. And I still hadn't spoken in tongues. But immediately after, you know, she didn't say anything. I don't remember her saying anything in the dream, but I knew I had done what God wanted me to do, or I had to do, because that was the truth. You'd be right with anybody, everybody. And then I got up immediately, went over, fell on my knees where those angels had sung, He is coming soon, He is coming soon, He is coming soon. Now, that doesn't mean anything, because soon to God could be 1,000 years, right? Or 2,000 years. So, I didn't know what soon meant, but I interpreted it in my own mind that it meant, Jim, you have just 6 months ago gotten saved, and you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life, if that's real. If it isn't real, I don't want it. If it's a sideshow, if it's some kind of a side deal over there, I want the main event. I don't want to get off into some, you know, mirror illusion room or something.
Yeah.
I want the real thing. I don't want a wooden nickel. I want a real nickel. And so there it was. And so these angels were saying, and I knew it was in my lifetime, before you die. That's why I believe I didn't die. I believe I didn't die when I went off and I was just a lump on the ground, bleeding and everything destroyed. And why I didn't have brain damage. How can you fall on your head from 10 feet? And, you know, a lot of people younger than I am fall off a little ladder, 6 feet or, you know, 3 feet or something. Or they just fall down and they hit their head on a stone or something. I fell right down on the cement, right on, you know, 4 inches of cement in a driveway that's thick. And blood all over and skull, you know, you're dead. And, you know, 19 stitches in this ear and this eye was completely, you know, black and closed up. And so on. But I didn't know that. I just knew that, you know, I was fine. Because I knew God had given me an assignment. That guy's assignment over there. I knew he'd give me an assignment. And I knew I hadn't finished. I knew I was, whatever was in my life, I knew I wasn't finished. So I cannot die. I will not die. And I had no doubt. I mean, there wasn't like, maybe you will or something. It's no doubt. So I never felt any pain from the fall. And I never had any doubt about that I don't need to be in a hospital or take any medicine or anything. And I didn't. I just refused everything. I'm going to finish. This is God's will. And so on. You can't make yourself believe something you don't believe. But if you believe it, you can't make yourself not believe it. You just believe it. Anyway, because I heard that those years ago, I knew there was an urgency about my life. Which I am the worst person that's ever lived on the face of the earth. I never felt anyone, I've never met anyone worse than myself. You could show me Charles Manson or whatever. I would be equal to them or worse. I would never think they're worse. I have no judgment on anybody that does anything. Because I know how cold and calculating and rotten I am to the core. And I'm proud of it. I was not humble about it, you know, proud of it. I don't want God. I don't need him. I don't need anybody. I don't want anybody. I don't want Peggy to love me or anybody. Just leave me alone. I'm fine. And I don't care if I go to hell. Nothing scared me or bothered me or attracted me. I just want to be God. That's it. Has anybody ever had that problem? You just want everything to go the way you want it to go. I mean, I just don't want anything not to be the way I want it. It's just a spoiled brat. Has anybody ever had that? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's all of us. We're all the same. Everybody's the same. So there's that God-like thing in us that you can put religion all over it, but it doesn't change a thing. You still, the fig leaves are nothing. They're just hiding your nakedness, but God still sees it. Anyway, so when that happened, I knew, Lord God, I am the worst person you could possibly have on your team. I should not be in church or a Christian. I should be in the mafia. I should be, some kind of a professor and, wow people. And I should be maybe a choreographer or something, or maybe raise chickens or be a trillionaire or something else. I'm gifted for it because I'm totally focused on winning at all costs. I'm worse than Trump. I'm exactly like Trump, actually. I like everything he says because he sounds just exactly like me. And I'm like Hillary also, just exactly like her. It's a filthy, rotten liar. I'm exactly like her. And Obama, the same thing. They're all Chicago people, and they're just like me. They're exactly like me. And I told you, my whole family is mafia, mother's side, father's side, both. But so why should that person ever become a Christian? How could they become a Christian? There's nothing going for them because they're perfectly happy being filthy and corrupt and nasty and ungodly. I had no religion. I had no morals. I have never been moral, ever, not even for a second. And so for God to speak all that, I understand exactly what Paul is saying. I never had a problem reading the Bible. I knew the Bible was for sinners. I mean, I knew, well, I'm perfect because I'm a sinner. But I can't make the power come out for me. I mean, I can hear that Jesus died for me and think, what a sap he was. That was stupid that you died for me and you're imagining I'm going to behave. That's ridiculous. I'm not. Even Peggy knows that. I'm just a joke. I'm a complete joke. But God destroyed me, and he was able to kill me. That's amazing. I don't know how he does it. He didn't just kill my flesh. Like, I could admit easily, yeah, I've been rotten my whole life. But I wouldn't stop. Why would I stop? I want to keep going. Because somebody might try to do something. I want to be king of the mountain. I don't want to be second or third or 18th or 69 billionth. I want to be top. I want to be number one, just like Addison. And man, I want to be the best. And so, God loved me. And I saw it in there. I realized objectively, I've never been subjective. I've never been subjective. Subjective means I cared about what I felt or thought or whatever. Just jokes. I knew whatever I thought was just a thought. It was just emotion. It was just nothing. So I just read it, and it said, Jesus loves me, this I know. So what the Bible tells me, so, like that little song. And that was it. There's my whole theology right there. So I was a simpleton, stupid. When I went to college, I knew nothing because I cheated and lied and stolen my whole life. Never learned anything. I know you've heard this before, but it's real. I'm just telling you. I had no hope whatsoever of ever getting out of poverty or, corruption or crime or anything. There's no way. That's why you cannot show me someone and say there's no hope in this person. It's like a joke to me. There's no hope in me. But God did. Amen. And if he can talk to me, he could talk to anybody. There's nobody that I've ever met that I think, people that I've murdered and so on, I don't feel that's anything. Because sometimes they even feel guilty about killing so many people. I wouldn't. It wouldn't bother me at all. I could easily be Jesse James or whoever bad guys are. It wouldn't bother me at all. I would love killing people, shooting people, and so on and so forth. I do it on a daily basis. I mean, Peggy couldn't even breathe in the marriage. There's no way. I have no sympathy for anybody. I don't care that you're hurt. Too bad. Grow up. Get out of the way. And I didn't care if people died. I didn't care if my best friend died. I don't care. So I'm just telling you, there are rotten people in this world, and you're one of them. So you're just the same as I am. It's just that I admitted it to myself and enjoyed it. I was thrilled about it. I mean, it's just whatever is. And if you're wicked, you're wicked. And God, here, he wrote this stupid book. He is so stupid. He wrote this book and obligated himself to love sinners. So, that doesn't make any sense. And I didn't even want it. But there he is. He wrote the thing down. It's like, too bad for you. You want me on your team? I'll ruin it. The second I become one of your guys, which I'm not going to do, I don't want to have a God running my life. But if I ever do, I will not be a hypocrite. I will follow you. But the second, I'm also going to fight you too. Because I'm going to fight you to the end. Because I'm used to being God. I'm used to being my own person. And I have nothing going for me. It's all a joke. You all understand that? I mean, I didn't really think I was going to be anything. I just wanted to be. It was pure want. In other words, I wasn't really smarter than anybody else. I just wanted to be. If you had five PhDs, I wanted seven just to get ahead of you. Just in case you tried to get another one in the meanwhile. Because I'd get them two at a time, and I literally would do that. I always did that. I was a ruthless person who had no purpose in life. I had no life. There was no person here. I was completely an empty suit. There's nothing here. But I was just faking my way through, trying to survive, just stay alive with no purpose. You remember the rebel without a cause? That was me. I was a rebel, but I didn't have a cause. I don't know why I was. I was just there, and I'd been birthed, and here I am. And so I'm not apologizing to anybody. I don't care who you are. I don't respect you. I don't honor you. I don't worship you. And then here's a God that says, you know, Jim, you're looking for me. I'm not. I am not looking for you. I wouldn't want to be with you no matter what. I've seen some of your people. They don't look that happy to me. At least I'm happy. I'm totally, totally happy all the time. I'm a happy-go-lucky, you know, luck of the Irish kind of guy. You know, just like, hey, everything turns out. My sister even knew that. She was abused and misused and so on and so forth. And she always looked to her brother as though, my brother Jim is just a wonderful knight in shining armor, which I wasn't anything like that. I didn't give a flip for her. I didn't care what happened to her. Too bad for you. You're stupid. And so I was a ruthless person. Now, God loved me. And if he could love me, he could love anybody. And when I got a hold of it, it was immediate and experiential. It wasn't intellectual. I had the joy of the Lord. When I became Christian, I was joyful. I had never read the Bible assiduously except as a kind of a student. But I began reading the Bible 6 hours a day. The minute I got saved, 6 hours a day, I'd read that Bible. Because now it was a love letter to me. It was personal. I was now Christian. And I knew it. I knew that I knew that I knew. And I got that from the Baptists. I got that. They said they didn't just know, but they knew that they knew that they knew, whatever that meant. But I didn't care what it meant. It just sounded interesting. And I thought, I'd like to have one of those. That you know, that you know, that you know. I mean, really, experientially, intellectually, emotionally, in every way, you know it. So now that I belonged to him, and now that I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and now that I knew he was coming soon, I know I have to, you know, be better than I am. Because even Peggy knows I'm a rat. I'm no good. I'm lousy. I'm worse than you are, Alex, and you know how bad you are. I'm worse, you know. So, but I'm equal to my friend over there. Equal to him. And I'm very similar to Randy. But now Randy's a Christian. See, he was a Christian before I was. He had more guilt than I had. I didn't have any guilt. I love being a wicked person and out for myself totally. So all the things you're not supposed to be, I was, and all the things you aren't, you know, are supposed to be, I wasn't, and I didn't want to be. But Jesus Christ turned my life around. I love Jesus now with all my heart and soul and strength. If you can imagine, that's a miracle. But it's a miracle because that's what God does. Miracles. And he wants the whole world to know. And that's why I could easily talk to Hillary or anybody, Bill or anybody, without any fear or trepidation or whatever, because I don't respect people. I'm not a respecter of people. They're just another person, just like me. And you can't be worse. But and I know some of you think there are some people so demonic. I don't believe it. I believe we're all the same, so I'm sorry. I realize there are people that are mnemonic, but I don't care. It makes no difference. That would be me. I would be like that. Because I just don't have love. I had no love. I had no natural compassion or love for people. And I don't want to tell you this, but I'm going to tell it to you. If my mom had died at a certain point, I would have just gone like this. Oh, when did she die? About 10 o'clock this morning. Wow. What's for breakfast? That would have been me. I'm sorry. I have no connection to anybody. I'm that cold and that nasty. And I knew that. And I was proud of that. That I just functioned all on my own. I never have asked anybody for anything. I never felt sorry for myself. I never felt like I wish things were better. I just would go and steal it or take it or, you know, just do whatever I had to do to get it. And I had no doubt in my mind that nothing was impossible to me, even though I knew it was just a joke. I mean, of course, lots of things you can't do. You're a complete nothing. You are an absolute zero. Has anybody ever come to that conclusion about yourself?
Yes.
You're a zero. You're nothing. You're just play acting some kind of role, and you make it up every few minutes just to keep going so nobody catches you. It's like, I just didn't want to be caught. That's about the whole thing. I don't mind stealing and robbing and whatever, but I just don't want to be caught because that'll slow down my ability. I'll still in prison too, and I don't care what they do to me or whatever. I'll fit right in. I can adapt to any rotten situation. So when Peggy had the courage to say so, that she didn't really love me, that delighted me. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Why would you? How could you? I'm a complete idiot and jerk and bad, evil person. So it doesn't faze me at all. It has no impact on me when people are talking about me or saying untrue things. It's like, so what? You know, just make up anything. It's probably true, but it may not be. But I don't really care. And I'm just going to keep going as long as I can until I run out of that bunny thing. That little everlasting bunny or whatever it is. I was just one of those bunny things, and I just keep going till I'm dead. And then that's it. And that's it. And that's all. Till I met Jesus Christ. And when I met Jesus Christ, I didn't meet him. He chose me. He was looking for me. He was after me. And it was like amazing why that guy would pursue a bad guy. I read the Bible. I could look at the Bible and see what it said. It said he's holy. I'm not. It said, he wants me to be here, I'll go to hell. That's okay with me. So I go to hell. That's a little way off, so I'm not going to worry about it today. I'll think about that tomorrow. You remember Gone with the Wind? Yeah, I'll think about that tomorrow. You know, that was me. It's just, yeah, well, I'll pay attention to that tomorrow. Right now, what do I do next? And so, a complete fraud, a complete hypocrite. Those words are so real to me because they describe me totally accurately. So take all the negative words in the Bible, they describe me perfectly. Take all the positive ones, I don't believe anybody exists like that. So I'm all negative and there's no positive in me. But I'm having a good time because I don't care. But now I'm the opposite. I hate all injustice now, any form of it. I don't care how sneaky it is or how wicked it is. And I know all the sneaky, I know like an alcoholic where they hide all the booze. It'd be easy for me to be a detective. Because I know how to hide everything and anything. I love solving problems. It's like, I know where you hit it, because I know what I would do, and so on and so forth. So when you're wicked, my first thoughts are never Jesus Christ. Never. My first thoughts are always some criminal type of thing, you know, how to get even or, you know. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That was mine. I'm going to get the vengeance. I laid awake one time for about 6 months just dreaming of how I could pay this guy back. Robert and I had gone into a business deal. Never do a business deal with Robert. But anyway, we'd gone into this business deal with somebody, and I put up all the money, and he borrowed his from somebody, but I put up all our own real money, and then the guy absconded with it, and so on and so forth. And since it was one of Robert's friends that we were working with, I couldn't blame Robert because he's my friend. I couldn't blame him. But I knew that's a bad guy you're working with right there. So I laid awake thinking, how can I hurt this guy the same way he has just done? Because he totally deceived us. He just, you know, conned Robert into it. And then I, you know, love Robert, so I was helping out. Hey, yeah, I've always acted, and you don't have to act. I'll act anyway. So if I say something, I'm going to do it. Like Trump. If I say I'll do it, I'll do it. That's it. And so I've always acted and lost. Just so many times. So I've asked other people sometimes to go in with me. They've all gotten hurt. So I realize I ain't doing that anymore.
Right.
I'm going to check with Peggy from now on. Because she has a ruthless, let's not do it. Whereas I was a gambler. I love to gamble. Let's just try it. So we have, I don't know how many oil wells we own. They've never produced a nickel. I mean, we own them all over Oklahoma and so on and so forth. They're worthless. But at any rate, we did a lot of wondrous deals. It's amazing. And Robert is a dreamer, so I've done billion-dollar deals with Robert. Of course, we never made a penny, and it was all my money that got lost, all of it. So one day Peggy said, "You're not doing any more deals with Robert." That's when we split. And so it's like, oh my God. So, but where's the fault? It's always with me. You know, because Peggy asked me, "Did you pray about it?" Oh yeah, because I'm a liar. Yes, I did. I heard God. Okay, well then do it. And then when it didn't work, she said, "I thought you said you heard Jesus." Well, obviously I didn't. So I lied. So what do you want to do now? So, new deal, okay. what I want to do is kill him. Yeah, right. But I did say this. I said, you know, to help you out, from now on I won't do a deal except you and I both agree 100%. And even if you do agree, I'll argue with you to make sure you really agree. You've heard it just like I have from God himself. And of course, she can't hear from God himself, so I knew that was not going to happen. So that was the end of the deals. We've never done a deal since then. I'm doing fine now. There's no more deals. Just keep everything. Now, why am I telling you all that? I'm just telling you how God is. This has nothing to do with me. It's not my story. It's his story. History is capital H. His story, and I happen to be included in it. He happened to include me in his story. And so human history is nothing. It's just the story of people that are either like me or lie. That's it. And since I don't have any fear about anything, or I'm not trying to go anywhere or do anything, I'm not afraid. But here's the thing. Paul says, how could you read in the Bible that Jesus Christ was crucified for you, and you saw it before your very eyes? This is the second verse of chapter 3. How could you do that and then fall back? And now you began in the spirit. Let me just ask you something, he says. You began in the spirit. Why are you now ending up in the flesh? How can you do it in the flesh? You believed in Jesus Christ. You were Christian. You got started. You were born again. And now you want to go back? You don't want to be sanctified? No, it's too much fire. It's hurt. I can get into trouble. I mean, no, you're in trouble all the time. You're not getting into trouble. There's always trouble. Have you ever noticed that it never gets better?
Yeah.
I don't care. Peace, and there is no peace. There's not going to be any peace. There's not going to be any peace. There's not going to be any peace. Now, God said peace on earth, goodwill to men, but only God can do that.
Amen.
And he started with me. I know he started with me, and I got it. I am totally at peace in this world. I'm totally happy in this world. I want all the enemies to be good ones. I want all the people that hate me and despise me and go for it. Because if there ain't a God, I'm in trouble. But I believe there is. So it's not a joke with me. It's like, oh, I'm ready to die any second. If I die right now, I'm okay with it. I'm totally happy with it. And I don't care about my reputation or anything. Because I never was anything, and I'm still nothing, and I'm going to continue to just serve Jesus Christ because I believe he's everything.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
I don't know. Can anybody else do that?
Yes.
Karen, you did it.
Yes.
It's powerful. You can do it. Vicky, you did it. And you married, you know, Sam. That was a bad move right there.
It worked out.
It worked out, though, because of God.
Amen.
See, and it's totally God. So a bad situation actually can be a good situation. As a matter of fact, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. So that's all you got to do. It's so simple. Everything in the Bible to me is simple, black and white. There's no confusions. None. I don't have any confusion when I read the Bible. Because it just says what it says. Don't read it subjectively. I'm going to try to believe that. Don't believe it if you don't believe it. If you don't believe it, you don't believe it. And if you do, you do. You can't make yourself not if you do. And you can't make yourself do if you don't.
Right.
So if you believe it, it was a miracle.
Hallelujah.
It's a miracle that anybody would believe that nonsense. Because that's silly. A holy God loves wicked, sinful people that rebel against him. That doesn't make any sense. That's the Bible. His story is all about how we sinned and he never did. It's a whole story about how God was always merciful and gracious and giving the Holy Spirit. And, you know, you didn't get half of the Holy Spirit or a quarter of it. You got the whole thing. And he paid all your debt. He didn't say, well, I'm paying it by little increments and so on. It wasn't a mortgage thing. He just paid the whole thing.
Amen.
And gave it to you and said, you're a new creation. I am. And it's like, wow, that guy is in all the way. He put skin in the game. And he said, and if I lie to you, because I'm doing my side and your side. This is unilateral. You understand a unilateral agreement? It's not bi. It's not bilateral. It isn't you do your part, I'll do my part. Christianity is unilateral. I do it all.
Yes.
Not only that, that's good news. It's even better. I did it all. I've already done it. I've done it. I know you can't see it yet, because it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know. We know, I do, that when he appears, I shall be like him. I'm not going to be him. I'll be like him. I'm not going to be him. You see, even when I produce all those good works, that wasn't me. That was Jesus. And what he created me for, betzelemnu kedemutnu in Hebrew, that means I could be just like him. I would not be him. I'm never going to be God. I'm the bride. I'm not the bridegroom. Peggy's not going to be me. Her only word is submit to me. Y'all didn't see the humor of that. How many can imagine that it could be a little bit of a problem there of submitting to a human being who's definitely flawed? Even after he's a Christian, he's flawed. You know, I mean, there's no dependability right there. Can you all see that?
Yeah.
So can you blame Peggy for never committing? Now, we're not talking about her heart, because she doesn't know her heart. Nobody knows their heart. It's either written down in the Bible or you don't know it. There's no way you can't check it, because what we're going to check with, your emotions, your thoughts, those are just soulish things. So there's no way you can know your heart. If he hadn't said your heart was evil above all things, you wouldn't know it. If he hadn't said you now have a pure heart, you wouldn't know that either. There's no way you can check it. Now, how would you check it? With your reason? With your mind? With your will? With your emotions? With your imagination? How can you check it? You can't. He just wrote it, and it's not self-evident. There's no way you could know that.
Right.
But God said it. That settles it for me. Right? It's happiness. Right there is all my happiness. I'm not looking forward to heaven. Like, oh, I'm really going to be happy someday. I'm already happy.
Amen.
I'm totally happy right now looking at all the opposite. Now, it doesn't bother me a bit.
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me that Hillary becomes president or Bernie Sanders.
Really?
Doesn't bother me at all. No, it does not. That's not scary to me. Why? Because I trust that Jesus is just a little bit bigger. And therefore, he knows how to get his thing done. Now, if that's a joke, it's a joke. But it's not for me. For me, it's to the death. So, if you can't make God work for you in this world, he's not going to work in the next. You want a God that's today, right now, that loves you as you are, as is. He buys you as is. He promises to fix you, change you. You don't do anything to help. You have done everything not to help. You have done everything to slow him down. Won't make any difference to him at all. He is not at all disturbed by all the sin that man can do. There's never been slowed down. If something really would have stopped God, it wouldn't have happened. But it can't. It's impossible. So when he predestined us, he predestined all of us, that means he gave you a destiny to live. He decided to create you rather than not to create you, bring you into the world rather than not. When he did that, he did it by foreknowledge. I already know what Judy's going to be. But he didn't make Judy do anything. That was up to her. So she chose her who she is, her identity, her essence. She didn't choose her existence. God gave her that. But then he gave her freedom to make a mistake or to get it right. That was her own deal. And what did she have to go on? Her reason? Yeah, that's not good enough. Her will? Yeah, she could want something, but it doesn't mean anything. You don't get what you want. You notice that? Yeah, as a matter of fact, you get the opposite. God, you said you can't hold God to his promise. Where's your army that you're going to overthrow the guy or bring him to jail or make him come to court or be the judge? You can't make God do one thing he said. So he's making a promise that no one should believe because there's no way you can keep him. What court will you take him to if he doesn't keep his word? So you have to settle that. You have to sit down, count the cost before you jump in. If you're going to be a believer, don't put your hand to the plow and then turn back. If you put your hand to the plow, keep going.
Yes.
Why? Because that's a Christian. That shows it's God, not you. Mm. If it was you, you'd be like this. You would fall back. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You began in the spirit. Now why are you ending in the flesh? Can you perfect what God has started when you don't do perfect? Mm. How by your works can you perfect what God began? He can start something and finish it. He's the Alpha and the Omega, and he's the middle. He's got what they call mezzanine financing. He's got the final. He's got it all. He does every bit of it. He starts it, he keeps it going, and he finishes it perfectly. There is no other God like that. Show me that Buddha's like that. Show me that the Hindu gods are like that. Show me that any other religion has any worth at all. Why am I ruthless? Because I am. All those other religions are all law religions. Behave yourself. They have no other purpose. There's no gods in any of those religions. They just crowd control. Totally set up for the state, for the king, for somebody who invented that, the priesthood, to keep going. That's about it. But there's no truth to any of it. Because behave yourself doesn't work. The Catholics tried it. The Jews before that tried it. It doesn't work. You can even know what God wants, and you can't do it. Even if you know what is good, which you don't. But even if you did, and even if you wanted to do what he wanted, you still can't. Nobody who's ever wanted to do, God, today I'm going to be a perfect person. Okay, you can want it all day long and try real hard to get it. It won't help a thing unless the Lord build the house. They that labor in vain. So, isn't it exciting to live in a day when everything's falling apart? Aren't you glad you don't live during the Civil War or the American Revolution or some other golden age that doesn't exist?
Yeah.
Or how about in the days of Jesus? Would you have crucified him?
No.
Your sins did, God said. Your sins did. Your sins, not somebody else's. Yours. Without your sins, he wouldn't have died. If he didn't have your sins on him, he would not have died. He would have waited for your sin. Said, I don't have all her sin yet. I can't die yet. He knew when his hour had come. That was when the sins of the whole world would be put upon him. And he'd pay for everybody. Over. Done. Finished. Forever. You were crucified when Christ was crucified. Sun estoromai. Sun estoromai is I was crucified together with Christ. When he was crucified, I was crucified. So you don't exist. You're not here. So you can't do wrong or right because you're dead. Did you ever notice dead people don't do good or bad? Remember God said, don't ever eat of that tree? So as long as you're alive, you'll try to figure out what good and bad is, and you'll never do it. You'll never know what good or bad is. Because good is God, and bad is you. So history of mankind, 6,000 years of history. 6,000. That's it. Period. And now we're in the 7,000th. We're now beginning the last day, and I'm telling you right now, by God, not me. He's coming. And he's coming in your lifetime before you're dead. And for me, that's quick. You know, that's quick. But I could live to be 120 maybe. I'm banking on that. Lynn.
For the benefit of the latecomers, can you recap your dream and what impact you think it has?
I could. I didn't really tell it.
Oh.
I didn't tell it.
You said you had a dream.
Yeah, I did.
She didn't hear any of it.
She didn't hear any of it. I have to tell you this because I had been praying, God, I don't feel I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and it's okay. I'm content to stay what I'm doing, but I don't feel like I've really done what I'm supposed to be doing. And I know there's something more, not wonderful or great, just real. It's something that you want me to do. And Dallas-Fort Worth churches are great, but it's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I know I've been prepared for it, but I have no clue and I have no way of knowing. So could you just show me? So when the dream happened, that was the background of it, that I've been praying that fervently because I have some kind of a knowing inside of me that you're just wasting time or something. You know, not that I'm not doing good. I'm doing good. But I just, something inside of me said, no, you're not doing yet what God wants you to do. Okay, well, I don't know what it is, and I don't want to even guess. That's your job. Tell me. So just tell me. I'm going to sleep. And so all night long, I dreamt this dream, very vivid, extreme vivid dream. And when you wake up, do you know how when you wake up, you usually can't remember your dream, but you know you had one?
Yeah.
Or you can remember a verse or two, or, you know, an item or two. Well, when I woke up, it was still vivid.
Yeah.
And there were at least two parts to it that I can explain. The large part was where I was out, and God had told me that I was to tell everyone as a prophet. I knew I was not a pastor. I was a prophet. And I was to prophesy and tell people he is coming soon. So I did. And everywhere I went, this is not real because I never have thought this or would have viewed this at all. Everywhere I went, people were hanging on my words. Pagans, Christians, everybody was listening wherever I went. I can't say that they were countries, but they were like different. I was going through different gates or different portals or something. And wherever I went, huge crowds were gathering, and then they were asking me questions, and I was explaining. Because the message was, he showed me exactly the message. Tell them, I am coming soon. My return is imminent. Tell them that. Not in theory now. And he didn't say it's going to be on Thursday or something. He just said, tell them I'm coming soon. And I translate that as in my lifetime. So just say that. And then he said, here's why they have to know that I'm coming soon. Because many hearts have not prepared themselves and have made no room for God. And therefore, when I come, they won't be ready. So tell them to prepare themselves and make room for him. I remember those three things. He is coming soon. Prepare your hearts. Make room for him. It's not there now. I remember that. So I was telling this to everybody and explaining it. Because I had a perfect understanding of what I was supposed to do. But I knew I was a prophet. And I knew wherever I went, people were listening and attentive. And it was successful. I mean, I was going through crowds like I've never seen. You know, had to be millions, millions of people listening. And so, so that was the first two-thirds of the dream or three-fourths of the dream. And lots of details were in there. But I knew, because I often dream of preaching. And I knew I was not preaching. I knew I was telling forth what God was about to do as a prophet. And I knew that was my mission, my assignment, my purpose. Nothing else. So I wasn't doing any of the normal thing. Then I walked into a church. And so I got done with the crowds. And I walked into this church. And it was a Gothic church, but it had no windows in it. In other words, it had stained glass windows, but they were gone. There was no windows. It was completely open. And I went up these stairs. And so as I was going up these stairs, I went in and I recognized some ladies that were in my church or that I had ministered to as a teacher or something. But I knew them and they knew me. And I began preaching to them in this Gothic type church, whether it was Catholic or whether it was Episcopalian, whether it was Methodist or Lutheran. It could be any one of the big denominations, but I knew it was a denomination kind of like I came out of. They had those kind of churches that are nice, you know, very nice. But this one was like bombed out almost. I mean, it was kind of open because I could see there were, I don't know, 100 people, 200 people, 300 people, not anymore. It wasn't big crowds like I just finished with. So this was local, like Dallas, Fort Worth or something. And so, and here's people I know. I cannot say it's anybody that I know here. I can just say, but I knew the people and I knew they knew me. And so I began preaching to them and they were thankful that I was telling them, be ready. The Lord's coming. Get ready. Make your hearts ready. Make room for him. You haven't done it now. You're lukewarm. You are lukewarm believers. Though I didn't use that word in the dream, I knew they were. And then I began moving to the right and going through this crowds of people that I knew. And as I was moving, I kept preaching the same message over and over again without any enthusiasm. I knew I had no, there was no like, yeah, he's coming true, get ready. It wasn't that kind at all. Totally sober. Totally just saying the words he said to say. And I saw a minister on a chair up there, and I knew he was the minister of the church. And this minister was propped up. He was propped up. And he was at an angle. So his feet were down here, and then his head was like this. And he was, his feet were lower, and his head was higher, and he was looking up like this, and his mouth was open. And I knew he was dying. He was expiring. But I also knew this minister was their minister. And they loved him. And I could tell there were people, there were ladies around him. I can't say if there were men or not. I think there were men, but I remember there were a lot of ladies. And they loved this minister. And he had blessed them. So there's nothing negative. But I knew he was dead, even though he's alive. I could see he's giving his last breath. He had white hair around his ears and bald on the top. And he was like an old priest or an old pastor or whatever. And so as I was looking at that guy, I realized I'm taking over his church. And the people are listening to me. They're not going to follow him any longer. And I just spoke the word that I was to speak, still moving to the right. And I saw him there, and I thought he would look at me because I knew this man was very good. I mean, they liked him. And that I'm opposing what he's saying. And I know he does not have God's living word. I do. So I was going to deliver it then, and I did. I kept delivering it. But he never looked over at me. He just was looking straight up toward heaven, and his mouth was half open, and I knew he was just about dead. If he had been lying flat, I'd have thought he was dead already. In other words, he may have been in, and he was dressed in black. So he had his black suit on, and I'm not sure if he had a collar on, like a Catholic priest or an Episcopal priest or even a Lutheran. But I knew he was denominational, but I didn't know which one. And I also knew that he had done a nice job, but now he did not have the living word. I did. And I knew it. But it was very sober. It wasn't at all antagonistic or anything. It's just I have the word, and I'm going to keep going. So I was moving through, and then when I got past him, I don't know if he died or not, I just then woke up. So that was my dream. But when I woke up, I realized that those crowds out there that I was talking to, saved and unsaved, was me. And that church, that pastor that was dying, was me. And that I was dead. I, now who had the word, the living word of God, not just good words, true words, nice words, theologically helpful words, but I knew that whatever that minister was doing, he was no longer alive, and that was me. And that this new assignment or ministry, which I didn't understand until I woke up, was God saying, this is your purpose. This is your message. This is what you're going to do. And you're going to impact the world, but also you're going to impact this dead church, which wasn't dead. It was just religion is dead. Which only says, get born again and filled with the Spirit, and then don't go any further. Did you have to go to the death? Amen. And even though a disciple, when he's fully taught, will be like the master, he doesn't become the master. He becomes like the master. Big difference. Huge. That man had to die so that this man could live. So you have to have a death before you can have a resurrection. Yeah. So that was the dream. But it was so vivid. For me, not only all the details of what I've just explained, but just the the thing that was so real to me was the certainty that I had, and that's the only word I can use. I was certain that what I had was God himself, that I wasn't speaking good words or derivative of God. This was the real thing. What I was saying was the only word for the whole world and for that church that couldn't go any further than it had gone. So, then, as you know, I met with a brother yesterday, and we began reading the scriptures, and I just shared that as part of our scriptures. And he began to elaborate on the power of that. Anyway, it's very powerful. So I believe that God is coming back soon. Amen. And I believe it's my mission, which is, I don't even know what that means. I only know that's what I'm going to be doing. See, I've never seen myself as an apostle or a prophet like that, with the word. Yes. Like, I don't need to have 50 other words. I don't need to get into anything else that I've been doing, explaining the seven chairs and all that. Nothing. Just, he's coming soon. Get your hearts ready. There's no explanation. There's no teaching connected to this. It's just, do it. Make room in your heart today for God to take over.
Amen.
Period. It was exciting.
Yes.
It was powerful because I was not me. It was not me. It was a new me that I had not ever seen before.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. All right.
Just take place, this dream.
Huh?
In the last couple weeks.
Is it?
Yes. This dream was. Oh, this was a dream yesterday.
Oh, yeah, just yesterday morning.
Okay.
Yeah, yesterday morning. Shabbat Shalom. Because I had written on there July 24. When I wake up, I write down, if I have a dream, I always write it down. And when I say a dream, I mean God speaks. And so I'm going to write down whatever he speaks.
Amen.
And that's just kind of something I do for years. So I have journals and journals and journals and journals, you know, that are what God said. And that was the first time in my life, though, that I was ever certain. Not just certain in the scripture. I knew in the scripture. I mean, I know that's the truth. But this one was not head knowledge or even heart knowledge. It was just like a knowing.
Yes.
That this is your mission, not what you're doing right now.
Amazing.
That guy has to die. What I didn't know is that's me.
Mm-hmm.
That was not in the dream. Mm-hmm. I just realized that guy is going to die, and he has not been faithful.
Amen.
Not that he wasn't faithful. I knew they loved him, and I knew he had done a good job. And I knew I was taking over for a guy that had a reputation among all those people. And I'm taking over for him. But he doesn't have this word. And I've got to speak this word that God gave me. I was certain of it. And therefore, I had no feeling for the man, not negative or positive. It's just, he has to die. He will die. And in a little while, he will be buried and it's over. But it was me. And now, it makes total sense, because that was me out in the crowds. I'm the crowds. I was the born-again people out there that were lukewarm, and then I was the church and the whole thing. So it's the same as chair 4, 5, and 6. It's the same thing. There's a process that you have to go from this to this to this, and it's over. But God does it. You're passive.
Amen.
You don't actively do anything. And that's so hard, because we are doers. We want to do and prove that we are faithful and that we've shown God some appreciation and some, you know, that we're Christians because we bear fruit. Because we know it says bear fruit. But how do you bear fruit? You bear fruit by not bearing fruit.
That's right.
But by letting him live through you so that men don't glorify you for bearing the fruit. They don't say, thank you for the fruit you bore. They glorify your father to say, you must be a daughter of the king.
Amen.
And they recognize it. The world recognizes it. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're not the light of the church. You're not the salt of the church.
Amen.
So God wants this world to have good news before he comes, not after he comes. So we don't build the temple so that he can come back and live in it. He comes back, and we are the temple because he died 2,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago he died, before the foundation of the world. He was crucified. This point, there wasn't even time and space. There was no world. There was no you and me. But God knew us and predestined us according to his foreknowledge, that he knew, I will have a kingdom on the earth as it is in heaven, before the millennium, and before eternity. Anyway,
Amen.
That's the message.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
I love you all.
Amen.
God is good.